Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in church today. It's Spring Forward Sunday. How many didn't feel like springing out of bed today? It was a little rough spring this morning. It's funny, whenever there's a time change, you know, the dogs don't get the message there's a time change. So, you know, they're kind of like, what's going on? This is not what time we normally get up. But good job coming to church today. Y'all look pretty good for being up so early. You look good. All right, we're continuing our series on Goliath has got to go. Say that with me. Goliath has got to go. And you're saying, well, who's Goliath if you haven't been here? We all know that story from the Bible. We probably learned it as kids. We've seen the movie. And Goliath was the giant that stood before the children of Israel. And the Bible says that every day he would come out and he would taunt them. He would taunt the army and he would say, you know, who I'm going to make you guys my slave. And he would just taunt and taunt and taunt. And you know what? We have things in our life, and that's exactly what they do to us. They tell us, you're not going to make it. You're not good enough. It's never going to change. You're from the wrong part of town. You're wrong, wrong, wrong. And just these things that are constantly these thoughts and stuff that happens in our life that can cause Goliath. Says, Goliath is really anything that's keeping you from living the full life that God has for you. And so we need to say to those things, whether it's poverty, whether it's sickness, whether it's insecurity, whatever it is, we need to say to it, you know what? You have got to go. You can't stay in my life anymore. But the thing about it is sometimes we've let those Goliaths get so comfortable in our lives where we've just let them be. We've just let them have their way. We haven't challenged them. We've just let them do whatever they want. And when that happens, it gets so comfortable and we get so comfortable with it. And so we've got to look at stuff in our life that doesn't line up with the Word of God, that isn't in alignment with God's will for our life. We've got to look at it and say, you know what? This doesn't even belong in my life. There are some things that just don't go in your life. Here's some things that don't go in your life. Poverty does not go in your life.
Amen.
You're not designed. Nobody's designed to live poor. Poor in any manner. You know, when we think poverty, we think money, but we're not designed to live in poor health. We're not designed to live in poor self-image. We're not designed to live in poor relationships. We're not designed to live in poorness regarding finances. That's just not part of God's plan. And so when we see these things in our life, we've got to quit just accepting them because maybe they've been there a long time. And we've got to tell that Goliath, you know what? You've got to go. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of not having God's will in my life. And one of the best things we can learn as people and things that we can understand as believers is just because something is God's will does not mean it automatically happens. How many figured that out? Just because something is God's will doesn't mean it automatically happens. You say, well, how can you say that? It's God. Well, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. But how many know there's a lot of people perishing without the knowledge of Jesus Christ? So that's not God's will. And that just that one thing shows me, listen, just because God wants something, there's more involved. My will is involved. My obedience is involved. My knowledge is involved. And so we've got to really look at our life and say, you know what? Is my marriage where it needs to be? Are my finances where they need to be? Is my health where it needs to be? Are my emotions stable? Is my mind sound? Where am I at? And when we look at that and we're honest with ourselves, we're going to say, you know what? I believe God wants more for me in this area. I believe God wants to straighten this area of my life out. I believe God has a plan for me to have a sound mind. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's too many people walking around with too much emotional issues and things like that that are affecting every area of their life. And that's not God's plan. God has better for you. Isn't that good news? God has better. Aren't you glad God has better? No matter where you're at, the Bible tells me in Ephesians 3:20, God has better. God has better. You say, well, I'm doing pretty good. God's got better. God's got better for you. God's got more for you. All the good stuff. God only has good stuff, right? All right, here we go. So we're talking today, we're going to finish up on the giant. This is a big giant. All giants are big. That's kind of funny. But this is a big one because this affects so many of us. It affects so many of us, and it pops up in weird ways. But it's the giant of insecurity. You know, being insecure will cause you to be somebody you're not. It will cause you to try to be somebody else. You know what? Somebody else is already taken. That person's already taken. We got to be ourselves. And when we try to be somebody else, guess what? You don't have the grace. You don't have God's will. You don't have his power behind you to be somebody else. You have his grace and his power behind you to be you. Amen? To be you. But the enemy will try to tell you that you are not good enough, that you are not enough, that you are lacking in some area, so you need to be someone else. And that is a lie from the enemy. You are amazing. Look at your neighbor and say, you're amazing. You're amazing. And so we're going to talk about, I'm going to do a quick review. You know, reviews are good. How many know you don't get something the first time usually? You don't get it the first time. So we're going to do a quick review. And don't worry, we're going to get you out. Now, one thing I am pretty good at is getting everybody out a little early on Spring Forward Sunday, because it's rough watching everybody sleep. You know, now nobody's sleeping yet. If you're sleeping, I'm going to come talk loud by you, all right? So here we go. But, you know, if you're here today, all of us, if you're here, you say, you know what, sometimes we can feel embarrassed that we deal with insecurity, but the truth of the matter is every single one of us deals with insecurity in some manner, in some way, some more than others. But, hey, you know what, we all deal with it. And if we all deal with it, let's deal with it, right? And so the Bible's full of characters that felt unqualified. I don't like to use the word characters. It makes them seem like they're not real. The Bible's full of people that felt unqualified. So if you're here today and you don't feel qualified for maybe what God has for you, you know, there's times where we don't feel qualified for the life we have. But you know what? The Bible tells me in Colossians that God qualifies me. Isn't that good news? God, whenever I feel unqualified, which is often, I remind myself, you know what? God qualifies me. And if God qualifies me, that's enough for me. But you know, we know Moses, when God called him, he said, I can't even speak. He said, I can't do it. I can't speak well. We know Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Abraham said, I'm too old. Rahab, she was a prostitute. She felt like what she did and where she came from disqualified her. Gideon was afraid. He dealt with fear. He said, I'm the least of my household, and my household is the least of all the tribes. He said, I'm at the bottom. I'm at the bottom of the bottom. But you know what? God still used him in an amazing way. We have David. David had some stuff going on in his life. We know he met Bathsheba. We know that. That didn't end well, right? He had an affair, but God still used him. Listen, we can make mistakes, but as long as we run to the Lord and we don't run from God, God will get you through mistakes that you made. Isn't that good news? You know what? We've all made mistakes, but David is such a great example that mistakes are not, failing does not have to be fatal. Isn't that good? Failing does not have to be fatal. When we run to the Lord with our mistake and with everything, he will rebuild us, he will restore us, and he will make us new. It still happened, but God will get you through it. Amen? You don't have to feel like just because you've blown it that it's over for you. I've shared this testimony many times, and I look back on it, and I think, man, I was so stupid. You know, when you're young, you just... everything seems so huge when you're young, and it is in a way. You know, if you ever think about in your life, some of the biggest decisions that you make in your entire life, you make really when you're least qualified to make them. Because in your 20s, looking back, you know, some of us were way over 20, and you look back and you think, man, I was so unqualified to make those decisions. But we make decisions on our profession. We make decisions on who we're going to marry. We make decisions, such huge decisions, when you are so young. But you know what? God, if you follow the Lord, God will lead you in the right place. Doesn't matter how old you are. But I remember when I was in my 20s and just made so many horrible mistakes, and the enemy lied to me. And that's what the enemy does. The Bible says that that lying is the enemy's native language. That's his language. That's what he speaks. Everything he says is untrue. And so the enemy lied to me because that's what he does. So always remember, every thought that pops into your head is not God, and it may not be true. And so the thoughts just kept coming that I was unqualified, I was disqualified, that because of so many mistakes that I had made and things that I had done, that the dream and the vision that God had placed in my heart, it would never happen. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I'm never going to be in ministry. I'm never going to be able to serve the Lord because of the mistakes I made. And the enemy just pounded on me. Oh, you've gone too far. You've done too much. How could God ever use you? And if you hear those kind of things, I want to tell you right now, me standing here is proof that those are lies. No matter how old you are. Amen? But I remember believing it. You'd be surprised how many lies you actually believe. You'd be shocked how many lies you believe. And that's why we've got to take care of these lies that the enemy tells, and they turn into giants in our life. And next thing you know, we're living a life that isn't even the one God planned for us. You know, I told you guys about a plant that I have at my house. And I have this plant, and you know, praise the Lord, it's still alive, all right? It's 2 years old. I got it for Mother's Day from Noah, right? You'd think I'd take better care of it. But when I first got it, it was a beautiful orchid, and it had a beautiful bloom on it, and it was so pretty, and it sits in my windowsill in my kitchen, and I was washing dishes, and as I was looking at it, it doesn't look anything like it's supposed to look. And I brought a picture of it to show you guys what it looks like. Let's see it up here. Hopefully you got it. Yeah. How many know that does not look like an orchid? It looks like a creature of some kind. Now, it's alive. I've kept it alive. So there's a point for me. I've kept it alive, but the thing about it is I was washing dishes and I was looking at it and I was thinking to myself, that thing is so weird looking. And then on the inside, the Lord just said to me, it doesn't look anything like it's supposed to look. And he said, and that's how life can turn out. You're still alive, but you don't have any blooms. You're still alive, but your life doesn't look anything like it's supposed to. And that's why it's so important that we tackle and take care of the Goliaths in our life. Because if we don't, they're going to veer us and direct us into lives and into decisions and into places and relationships that we've got no business being in. There are people all over the place that stay in abusive relationships because they feel like they're not worth getting out. That's not God's plan for their life. That's not God's will for their life. But you know what? They're still alive. And just like this plant, it's still alive, but it doesn't look like the plan that God had for it. It doesn't look like it's supposed to. And you know what? God has a plan for your life and for my life. Before I was even in my mother's womb, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that God knew me and he had a plan for me, just like he has for you. And there are times where we've got to look at our life and say, is this what God had in mind? Is this what God had in mind when he made me? And if it's not, let's get it where it needs to be. Let's make some changes. Let's make some adjustments. Because just being alive creates that. And that doesn't look anything like it's supposed to. And you know why it doesn't? Because it hasn't been cared for. Not properly. It hasn't been trained. Orchids have to be trained where to grow. They have to be clipped. You know, when you go in the store and you see the orchid and it's clipped to something. Because if they're not, that's what you get. And if your life isn't clipped to the Word of God, to the will of God, to the way of God, it may end up looking something like this. Or areas. Are your finances out of control? Are your emotions out of control? Are your thoughts out of control? Is your family out of control? does it look like this? Let's get stuff where it needs to be. Let's tell Goliath, get your feet off my coffee table and get out. You have got to go, because God's got a plan for me. And as we take care of things, and as we tackle these Goliaths through this series, we're going to be molding and shaping and training our life to go in the direction God has for it. And you know what happens when you do that? Things begin to bloom. Things begin to produce fruit. Amen? And so that's what we want to do. And so one of the most powerful weapons the enemy has is to disqualify you. He's trying to tell you you're not qualified for the life that God has for you. You're not qualified for the goodness. You're not qualified for the blessing. You're not qualified for the healing. You're not qualified for the good stuff God has for you. The enemy, how many times have you ever given somebody a compliment and they can't take it? They can't take it. They'll defer it, or they'll say, oh, you know, or they'll just push it off. You know what's happening? We've got to learn to take the good stuff. You know why? Because you're worth it. You're worth that. God made you. You're worth that. You're worth healing. You're worth the good things of God. But the enemy's going to try you that, you know what? He's going to say, you're not worth it. He's going to try to think that you're disqualified from the life that God has for you. And here's, you know, and just a little side note here. We as people, we struggle with this. You know why we struggle with this? Because when people get good stuff, we try to tear them down. When people are walking in a level of financial prosperity or marital health or whatever, we're always looking for something to be wrong with it, aren't we? That's how we are as people. We're nitpickers. We try to pick things apart. And you know what? That is just the enemy. He's trying to have us have a disqualification mindset. And that, even on this, I read this in the news the other day, and I thought, you know, I'm not a Kardashian fan. You know, I've never seen the TV show. I'm not into it. That's just not my thing. But I read in a financial thing where Kylie is, she's her last name's different, right? But she is she's the youngest self-made billionaire. She's only 21, youngest self-made billionaire. Now, instead of people being happy for her and celebrating that she's obviously got the right thing going on in that business sense, I don't know anything about her personal life, that's not what we're talking about. They're trying to say all the reasons why she doesn't qualify as a self-made billionaire. But, you know, she could be sitting at home, playing video games, living off her mom, living off her family, doing drugs or whatever else. She could be going a whole different direction in her life. But she started a makeup company, and people bought it. And we can't celebrate that. We got to try to what? Disqualify her. And if we're not careful, that kind of mindset is going to seep into all the areas of our life. Because when God says that he wants you to be blessed, that disqualification mindset will go, well, you know, but I really screwed up here, and I don't know if I'm worth that, and I don't think I did this, and nobody says I'm worth it, and we're going to walk away from the life God has for us because we don't feel like it belongs to us. But you know what? It does belong to you. Amen? Jesus came for you to have it. John 10:10 said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come so that you may have life and life to the fullest. So when we look at our lives, we say, you know what? I qualify for a full life. I don't care where I'm from. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what I've done. I don't care how many mistakes I've made. God says I qualify. I qualify. And we got to grab a hold of it and say, you know what? I'm going to go for the life God has for me. I'm going to go for that life. Because you know what? The enemy doesn't have to defeat you, because truly he can't. He just needs to convince you that you're not qualified. You're not qualified to compete in the race of life God has for you. You're not qualified for the things God has for you. And so an insecurity comes in through rejection or through how we're raised or a word somebody said. I bet every one of us in here, if we pass the microphone around, we could all remember something somebody said to us when we were children that hurt us. We could remember a name that we were called. We could remember a teasing about our looks. We could remember a teasing about our parents. We could remember a teasing, a taunting. Does that sound familiar? A taunting about something going on in our life. We can remember it. And if we don't take control of that, it's going to shape and mold you and cause you to make decisions that are not for you. Cause you to settle for something that's less than what God has for you. And so we've got to take control of the insecurity. And here's the definition. The definition is to lack confidence or assurance. It's self-doubt. Self-doubt. You know, God doesn't doubt you, but we doubt ourselves. Self-doubt. Uncertainty or anxiety about yourself. An uncertainty or an anxiety about yourself. You know, we can have uncertainty about who God called us, who we are in Christ. And if we do, it's going to cause this uncertainty, causes you to be a little shaky. And so we talked last week about the areas of insecurity. The first one was self-image, how we see ourselves. You know, we think that God is looking at us through one of those magnifying mirrors. Anybody ever look in one of those? They're dangerous. Be careful. You look in those and you're just like, wow, wow, right? God does not look at us through those. God looks at us through Jesus. He looks at us through Jesus. He's not looking at every single flaw that we have. He's looking at every great thing that we have. And we saw in Psalms 139, I hope you took my advice last week and you did this. Psalms 139, this is David, and he says, "For you created my inmost being." He's talking about God. He said, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Verse number 14. Let's read this together. He says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Man, isn't that good? God's saying, David is saying, I'm praising God because I'm so wonderful. Now some of you are just like, oh, I can never do that. But you know what? We're supposed to do that. Because we're supposed, David's showing us here, he's like, listen, you need to know full well how amazing you are. You need to know full well how incredible God made you. You need to know full well that you're made in the image and the likeness of God. You need to know full well that you are a created being by God himself. Man, how are we going to, are you going to tackle Monday a whole lot better when you walk into wherever you work like, I am fearfully, wonderfully made, right? Wouldn't that going to be a lot better than walking in going, I don't even know, I might get fired today, you know? I mean, I don't have any smarts, I don't know what to do, blah, 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 you know, all that thinking. If we walk in there the way we're supposed to, David said, I praise God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know, we have that book out, it's one of my all-time favorite books. It's called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Man, if you struggle with believing in creation, if you struggle in that the science of evolution, if you want to call it that and all that, if you struggle in that area, I encourage you to get informed. Get informed. Don't just shy away from a challenge. Get informed about it. Because you know what? You'll never study so much that you'll prove God doesn't exist. The opposite will happen. And in the book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, it teaches you how amazing and incredible our human bodies are. There is absolutely no way you could read about how amazing your human body is and not believe that you were created by a supernatural being, and that's God. And I just, you know, we keep it here because I tell people that's one of the best books you'll ever read. When you read about the intricacies and the amazingness of you, you'll see yourself in a whole new way. Say, oh, but I'm this, but I'm that. No, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, your works are wonderful. You know, I used to struggle in this area. You know, I wish that I would have, I hope that young people, you know, when you're little, when you're young, man, you've got so much confidence usually. And, you know, as life comes, it chips it away a little bit. And as a kid, I had so much confidence, and I told you about the PEGGY story on the playground. But as you age, you know, it gets chipped away a little bit. And when I was in Bible school, I just felt like I didn't belong there. I felt like everybody else was smarter than me. I felt like I didn't know enough to be there. I remember calling home and telling my brother, I was like, man, I don't belong here. Everybody here knows so much more than I do. I'm so ill-prepared to be here. And thank God for a good brother. My brother said to me, he said, Peggy, that's exactly why you need to be there, because you don't know anything. He goes, that's why you need to be there. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. I guess I'll stay. You know, but the thing was, is that everywhere I looked, it just seemed like everybody was just so much more than me. Anybody feel like that? And with social media, man, that's so true. You look on social media, let me just give you some truth. Man, I know some of these people. Some of these people sit in my office that are on social media, and let me tell you something, that is not reality. Sometimes I look at things, I'm like, wow. All right, praise the Lord, you know, I'm not going to call them out or anything, but don't think that everything on social media is how somebody's really living. Hey, man, they got issues just like you do. They just don't post those, which, you know, I wouldn't want to post my issues either. But don't look at social media as reality. It's not. It's the best version of us. And so in social media, it makes you feel like you're even less than. And so I know I dealt with that. I can't even imagine being young now. But one of the things I did, I would just walk around. I had it on a little sign in my car. I put it in my car, this scripture. And I would just say over and over again, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. How you doing? I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I would just say it. In the morning, I would get up. I would look at myself in my apartment with my little dog, Pookie, out in Oklahoma. Didn't know anybody. And I would look in the mirror, and I'd be like, I am wonderful. And I just began to speak it over myself. You know what happens when you speak the word of God over yourself? It paints and creates a picture on the inside of you. I stopped seeing myself as less than. It took a little time, but I got there. I stopped seeing everybody else as more than me. I stopped seeing that. I quit looking at everybody else and just started thinking about me. And as I began to speak the word and other scriptures over myself, it painted and created a picture on the inside, and it changed how I saw things on the outside. That's the power of speaking the word of God. And as I began to just say, I am wonderful, and people would joke with me and they would laugh about it. I'd be like, I don't care, man. I need to change. I need to change. The word of God will change you if you let it. It will paint a different picture for your life. Another area that we deal with insecurity is our abilities. We view our problems according to God. We need to view our problems according to God's ability, not our own. Man, we've got too many issues to handle on our own. We just need to say, you know what, I can't handle this. But God can. Amen? But God can. And if I'll listen to him, he'll get me where I need to be. There's just too much, man. When you look at the world, you see the stuff going on and you see things, don't think you're going to be able to change that on your own. We need God to change that. Amen? We need the power of God. And thank God the power of God is for you, not against you. Isn't that good news? Thank God the problems that we have, no matter how big they are. See what happens when we start getting fearful and start getting anxiety and start getting freaked out about stuff. We're thinking that we are going to handle all of our problems on our own. And you know what? That will freak you out. But we're not. I'm not designed to handle my problems on my own. I'm designed to be a child of God. And you know what? I don't see any kids over in the nursery sweating it because they want to know if the rent's paid. Right? You know why? Because they know mom and dad are going to take care of that. They know mom and dad are going to take care of that. And you know what? That's how we need to be. You know what? My dad's got me. My dad's got me. It's his ability, not mine. Man, if it was my ability, this church would have closed a long time ago. But it's not, thank God. Whew, thank God. It's not my ability. When things get things get heavy and pressure comes, I pace back and forth on this carpet and I say, Jesus, you got problems. Jesus, you got bills. Because this is his house. This is his house. It's not my ability, it's my obedience. Amen? One of the ladies who goes to church here, she said something to me just in conversation. And when she said it, I was like, wait, what? Because it was so good. She said, I'm not responsible for the outcome, only the obedience to it. God will take care of the outcome. Hallelujah. And I thought, man, that's so good. I'm accountable for to be obedient to God's word, to speak God's word, to believe God's word. He's the one that watches over it. What's the next part? To perform it. He does it. The Bible says that Apollos planted and Paul watered, but God gave the increase. Let's not leave God's power out of our problems. Don't leave God's power out of your problems. You know how you do that? You shut God out of it. You don't give them to him. You don't pray about it. You don't speak the word. You just keep it all inside. Listen, keeping it all inside isn't going to help you. Another area that we have insecurity about is our past. The enemy loves to bring up our past, doesn't he? He just loves to bring it up. He loves to tell us all the ways that we should have and could have done things differently. But you know what? We didn't. We didn't do it differently. We didn't do it right, obviously. But I thank God that we can learn from Paul. He said, forget those things which are behind. Neglect the thing. That word forget means to neglect. Neglect the things which are behind. We can learn from it, but don't let it anchor you. Don't let your past become an anchor to you. Paul said, I neglect that and I strive to the future. I reach for the future. What's God got ahead of you? What's God got ahead of you? That's what God's interested in. I say this all the time because the Lord spoke it to me. He said, I'm not interested in what you've done. I'm interested in what you're going to do. Because what you've done is done. You can't change it. But you can change the impact and the effect it has on your future. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? God can take care of it. And then here's where we are. We're picking up here. Is an area where we can get insecure is in our relationships with people. Oh, this is a big one. Relationships with people. And here are some symptoms to see if you're suffering from insecurity in relationships. And here's the truth. All of us do. All of us do, but we can't let it get too big. We got to take care of it. And one of it is we're constantly thinking, what do others think of me? What do you think of me? What do you think of me? Another one is, what if they don't like me? What if they don't like me? Another one is, what if I don't fit in? What if I don't fit in? But Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10, this is a powerful scripture. And this is why this is such a good scripture to just, especially in the times we are living in. We are living in the first generations of a post-church America. We are the first generations, and what that means is church is no longer what they consider normal. It is no longer the accepted culture of America. And that's pretty sad, isn't it? And listen, don't get caught up there because remember this. Whenever you hear something like that, always remind yourself there's more to the story. Because no matter what that is, here's the truth. The Church of Jesus Christ is still the largest institution on the entire planet. People are getting born again every single day all over the world. Don't let the enemy tell you the church is losing. We're not losing. It's just that the enemy is attacking. There are two institutions that Jesus set forth, that God set forth. One is marriage, the other is the church. And you can see in our culture that both are under tremendous attack. Both are meaning less and less to culture in America. Now you don't have to be married to call somebody your husband, to call somebody your wife. You don't have to be married. It's just a piece of paper. That is a lie from the pit. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is an institution ordained by God himself. And anything that is a counterfeit is exactly that, a counterfeit. But the church and marriage, the two things. But here in America, they're saying that we're in the first generation of what's called a post-church America. But you know what? God's still working. God is still on the throne. And that's why this is such a big deal, because Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Ooh, isn't that a good question? Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Insecurity with people wondering, will they like me? Will I fit in? What, all of those things. As believers, we can't be moved by that. Because here's the thing, you don't fit in. We don't fit in. We're not supposed to fit in. We're supposed to be different. We're the salt of the earth. And everything's not salty. How many figured that out? Everything's not salty, but we're the salt of the earth. And if I'm trying to fit in with people, if I'm more concerned with what other people think of me, if I'm concerned whether or not people like me, then you know what? It's always, say the word always with me, always going to cause insecurity. Always. Because there's always somebody who doesn't like you. There's always somebody who doesn't think you're cool. There's a study that says 25% of people won't like you and never will. 25% of people won't like you, but could be persuaded to. And 25% will like you, but could be persuaded not to like you. But you know what? 25% will like you and will stand by you no matter what. Man, grab a hold of those 25 and don't let them go. Now, that's not a real scientific study. That's just for jokes. But the thing about it is, isn't that true? We've got to ask ourselves, when I am pleasing God, when my agenda, my desire and what drives me is that I want to please God, then what people think is going to matter less and less. You want to know what the cure for insecurity is? Get secure in God. Get secure in God. Because until your security comes from Him, you'll always try to get it from people. And when you try to get it from people, you will bend and change to make them like you. Isn't that the truth? Here's a good example. Now, we've probably, don't look around, don't point at anybody. All right? But how many of us have ever seen some people start dating? They start dating, and next thing you know, somebody's so just wants that person to like them so much that they become like that person. That they no longer look like they looked before. They no longer act like they acted before. What's happening? They're letting a person mold them. I remember in the movie The Runaway Bride with Julia Roberts. Anybody see that movie? There was a great, great life lesson in there. Because she would date all these guys and then she'd go to get married and she would run away, hence the movie. And so she was, after she kind of realized that's what she was doing, she went into the kitchen and the guy comes in. He's like, what are you doing? And she said, I'm finding out how I like eggs. I'm finding out how I like eggs. And she had poached egg, scrambled egg, fried egg. I don't even know how else you make eggs, but all these different ways you make eggs. She said, when I was with so-and-so, he liked these, so I did. When I was with so-and-so, he liked these, so I did. I want to know what I like. See, you can't let people mold you because they didn't make you. They didn't form you. They didn't have the plan when you were still in your mother's womb. God did. Amen. And that's why it's so important you have God make you, God mold you. And plus, people will always see your weaknesses. They will never see you the way God sees you. Only God can see you the way He sees you. And when He molds you and shapes you, I mean, I remember I've told this, when I first said to somebody, I wanted to be an associate. I just wanted to be an associate pastor. And the person looked at me and they were like, how's that going to happen? They could not see in me what God had placed in me. They could not see God's ability in me. They could not see the anointing on me, but God did. And had I let that person mold me, I would have said, oh, okay, you're right. And I would have stayed in the business world. You can't let people mold you. You can't let people direct your path. That's God's job. But if you're more concerned with what people think than what God thinks, you'll start looking like the people you hang out with. You'll start acting like the people you hang out with. And you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to look like God. I want to sound like God. I want to act like God. Isn't that what a Christian is supposed to do? The word Christian literally means Christ-like. Christ-like. I don't want to be housewives-like. I don't want to be that. Or big brother-like. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. But I've got to be more concerned with what Jesus says than what people say. If you deal with insecurity, the number one way to take care of it is get secure in who you are in Christ. Let God mold you. See yourself the way God sees you. Because if you don't, you know what's going to happen? You're going to change. Instead of you changing people, people will change you. One of my friends who's a pastor, he wrote this the other day, and I thought, man, that's so good. He said, let your preaching change the world, but don't let the world change your preaching. Let your church change the world, but don't let the world change your church. Let your Christianity change the world, but don't let the world change your Christianity. Let your God change the world, but don't let the world change your God. Isn't that good? And you know what I would add to that? Don't let the world change you. Don't let the world change you. Let's let God mold us. Amen? Another area that we have with insecurity is our relationship with God. So often, we run away from God instead of running to God when we need to. We need to approach Him based on His unconditional love and genuine admiration for us. You know, God loves you. When God sees you, He doesn't see all your faults. He doesn't see all your failures. He doesn't see all your warts, right? He doesn't see all that. He sees you through Jesus. And how many know God loves Jesus, right? You know what? He loves you too. Here's some things we need to remember. God likes you. God enjoys you. God does not tolerate you. I always tell people in relationships, listen, be with somebody who celebrates you, not somebody who tolerates you. I want to be with somebody who celebrates me, who celebrates my quirkiness, who celebrates my sense of humor, not sits and rolls their eyes about it. That's somebody who's tolerating me. I'll put up with you, but I don't want to live with you. I want to be with some, man, if you're single in here today, never be with somebody that makes you feel like they're tolerating you. Be with somebody who celebrates you. That's who you want to be with. And you know what? God celebrates you. He enjoys you. He wants to be with you. God always has and He always will. Nothing you could ever do or don't do can persuade Him to change His mind and not like you or enjoy you or love you. He may not always be pleased with what you're doing, but He's always loving you. Isn't that good news? God's always glad to see you. God's not that friend that you keep asking for help and they get aggravated about it. That's not God. God doesn't do that. God's that friend that says, come on, come on. All through the New Testament, the Bible says that we are a friend of God. He loves you. Let's quit acting like that God is over us. That's people that get over you. You know, somebody sent me a text the other day and they said, everybody's annoyed with me. Everybody's over me. You know, and they're having some family issue. And I text them back and I said, listen, the truth of the matter is we all get over somebody. We all get annoyed with somebody. Familiarity breeds contempt, but then we get over it because we're family. Just let it breathe. You can't tackle every issue. But you know, that's family. But that's not God. God is always glad to see you. Always. Always. And so we need to, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of, read that next word with me, grace. It's grace. It's not a throne of merit. It's not a throne of behavior. It's not a throne of grades. You know, it's not like you can't come unless you got an A in life, right? That's not what it is. It's a throne of grace. That means I get to come based on Jesus. I get to come based on what Jesus did. Because when God sees me, he sees Jesus. He says, but let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh man, if you get anything I say today, get this. When you're in your time of need, don't fall for the lie the enemy will tell you that God is over you, God is done with you, God is aggravated with you, God is rejecting you. Those are lies. That's his native language, is lies. That's not even true. The Bible says, let us then approach the throne of grace. And you know what I'm going to find there? I'm not going to find a wagging finger. I'm not going to find a lecture. I'm not going to find a smack on my hand. I'm going to find mercy. And what's God's mercy? Where God gives me what I need and not what I deserve. He said, I'm going to find mercy and I'm going to find grace. You know what grace is? It's all God's power, all God's ability, all God's love. And the Bible says that it is abounding towards me. It's God's ability that works for me, not against me. Don't hesitate to run to God. You know, in the Bible, there were two guys that were big sinners. They just screwed up big time. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I feel that way. There was Peter. The Bible says that he denied Jesus not one time, not twice, but three times. And this is after he was even warned that he was going to do it. And when Jesus told him he was going to do it, Peter got so bent out of shape. He was like, what? I would never do that. I would die first, he said. But you know what? He did it. And you may be here today and there may be some things that you swore you would never do, but you did. And then there was Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. He gave him up for money. Both of them, those are two pretty big deals, right? But how they responded to screwing up determined the rest of their life. Because Judas ran from God. He ran from God in his guilt and in his pain and in his problem. He ran away from God. But Peter, the Bible says, as soon as Peter saw Jesus for the first time, after that happened, he was in a boat, and it says that he took off his jacket and he jumped in the water and he ran to Jesus. He ran to Jesus. And he went on and he was chosen as the first disciple to speak on the day of Pentecost. Jesus could have chosen anybody, but he chose Peter. And you know what? You know what that says to me? That God's a God of another chance, but you got to run to him. Don't let your insecurity with your relationship with God cause you to run away from him. Always run to him because he loves you. He loves you with all your mess ups, all our screw ups, all of our baggage, all the things we said we'd never ever do, but we did, not once, not twice, but three times, or maybe even more. We can still run to him. You know why? It's a throne of grace. And you know what I get when I get there? I get mercy. I get grace in my time of need. So often people say, when I get cleaned up, when I get straightened up, then I'll come to God. No, you're supposed to come to God when you're in need. Because you can't fix that on your own. You need Jesus. Let's pray together.